In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Day of reckoning. Day of judgment. The Creator of the heavens and the earth comes. Unannounced. Unexpected. The sky rolls up like a scroll behind him. There is only him. Day of decision. His decision. Not ours. For this is his creation. And every human soul belongs to him. And he decides who stays and who goes. Day of reckoning. Day of judgment. The owner of the vineyard comes. And what does he find? His gaze falls upon a single tree, a fig tree, that should be brimming with fruit. For years he has waited patiently. For years he has shown mercy. For years he has given soil and shelter and water and every good thing for that tree. And for years he has looked upon that tree in disappointment. Where he should find a tree brimming with fruit, instead he finds branches stretching out toward him, utterly empty, utterly barren, worthless tree. Branches stretching out toward him as if in mock offering, offering him nothing at all, only worthless leaves. Like a man on that last day who stretches out his hands offering to the Lord all his good works and all his righteous deeds. And the Lord recoils in disgust at the bloody menstrual rags that have been shoved into his face. All those righteous deeds are as filthy rags, the scriptures say. All those good works are to the vineyard owner, but worthless leaves. The tree stretches out its branches toward him, utterly empty, barren of fruit. Like a man who stretches out his hands and offers the Lord not his good works, but his repentance and his faith. And the Lord only scowls in disgust at the half-hearted, half-assed repentance, at the weak, foolish, often misplaced faith. For the Lord sees what really is. Repentance, rotten to the core with hypocrisy. Faith, diseased with false belief and unbelief and all manner of worry and doubt. No good fruit to be found. No, not one. The owner of the vineyard looks for the fruit of contentment. Instead, he finds covetousness and greed. Greed for material things, yes, but all the more, greed for applause and attention, pats on the back and admiration. The owner of the vineyard looks for the fruit of sexual purity. Instead, he finds impurity of every kind. Clothing used not in service of modesty, but clothing used to seduce. Flirtations, lusting eyes, filthy thoughts, and worse. The owner of the vineyard looks for the fruits of fear, love, and trust. Instead, he finds arrogance, indifference, and Sunday morning lip service. Worthless tree, worse than worthless. Cut it down, the vineyard owner says. Why should it use up the ground? But then the vine dresser, to whom the owner speaks, does something utterly bizarre. He does not simply turn to the tree with axe in hand, but instead he turns toward the vineyard owner. And he says, "Sir, let it alone." Actually, that's not exactly what he says. He says, "Kyrie, aphes." Kyrie means Lord. Aphes is a word that you have spoken countless times, albeit in a different tongue. Kai aphes hemin, tauphilemata hemon. You pray. In English, "And forgive us our trespasses Aphes, forgive. I don't have to tell you who you are in Jesus' parable. You already confess it with your lips. Every time you pray that line of the Lord's Prayer, forgive. Forgive us our trespasses. I am that sinful, squandering, fruitless tree. And so are you. We have done not one single good work righteous enough to merit God's favor. There is no repentance whatsoever in us worthy of His praise. There is no faith in us so virtuous that God is impressed and owes us eternal life. None of that. There is just an empty-handed sinner standing before a holy God, a fruitless tree standing before the vineyard owner, a tree fit only to be cut down, just as the owner says. But instead of turning toward me, or turning toward you, axe in hand, that vine dresser turns toward the owner and says, Kyrie Aphes, Lord, forgive. Between the justly indignant vineyard owner and the empty-branched, empty-handed you, he puts himself, Lord, forgive. Forgive it this year also, he says, until I dig around it and put on manure. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down. And just as I didn't have to tell you that you're the barren tree, I don't really have to tell you who this vine dresser is. But that's part of what a pastor is called to do, to tell you what you already know again and again and again. Because this vine dresser who asked Jesus to forgive you, who asked God to forgive you, is none other than Jesus, of course. Between a justly offended creator and empty-handed you, he puts himself. Kyrie, Aphes, he says, Lord, forgive him, forgive her. It's not the only time our Lord Jesus uses this word, Aphes. In fact, it's one of the very first words that he speaks as he hangs from the cross. Pater, Aphes autois, he says. Father, forgive them. Here you see the connection between God's forgiveness and Jesus' cross. The connection between the vineyard owner's pardon and the vine dresser's labor. The owner allows that tree to remain only on account of the vine dresser's labor. And what labor is that? The scourges that opened his flesh, the thorns that sunk into his head, the blood-stained cross from which he hung. This is his labor and his work. Just as the vine dresser said, forgive until I dig around it and put on manure. This digging and laboring of which he speaks refers to one thing, his suffering and his cross. See what sweat drips from his face, what blood drips from those thorns, how his tongue sticks to the roof of his mouth from exertion. Such hard labor that his hands and his feet are wounded. Every muscle and sinew in his body burns and twitches under the strain. This labor requires all the resolve of his unbreakable soul. So the vine dresser labors and digs all for you, so that by his work you might be spared from the axe. so that by his work and in this way, he might get down to you, all the way down to the roots of your being. For on the cross, he also becomes the manure and the feces of our false piety, of our straining at gnats, our pristine church-going facade, all the pure fetid manure that we dare think is good, he becomes. He becomes our smug orthodoxy, our self-righteous learnedness, our presumptuous self-security, our spirit-filled superiority. Just as he becomes the rape and sodomy and abortion and murder and apathy and theft and greed and egotism, manure so dark and filthy you and I could never fully comprehend it. He becomes the excrement of all the world. For that is what it means that he who knew no sin became sin for us. The manure of his death, the manure of his cross. With this, the vine dresser now kneels down before you. Just as he knelt down once to wash his disciples' feet, this vine dresser now kneels down before you. And with his own hands, he massages the manure of his death, the scandal of his cross, into your roots, gently, lovingly, over and over again, he works it in. His death for you, his cross for you, into the deepest depths of your being, where you think your unforgivable sins are hidden, where you carry your deepest sorrows, most humiliating disappointments, and secret shame, where you feel utterly alone and lost, unlovable and damned. As deep as your roots go, there the vine dresser's fingers go, kneading the manure of his cross and the manure of his death into your soul and watering it with his own tears, tears of love for you. For he knows what his labor is working, now and for all eternity. As long as his death feeds your roots, you will never be cut down. As long as his death feeds your roots, you will never be cut down. For he has made himself your fruit. Look at the crucifix and see. See the barren, unfruitful tree, and see the fruit that now hangs upon it. It is our Lord Jesus himself. So you are that barren and fruitless tree, and who is your fruit? Our Lord Jesus himself. He is the righteousness of the ungodly man. He is the barren tree's new fruit. He has made himself your fruit, and he is the only fruit that pleases the vineyard owner, now and on that day of reckoning. He is all the fruit and all the righteous fruitfulness that you will ever need. Jesus, Jesus, and only Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.